Jonathan, hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Bagel Tech Photo. The whole gang is back. I'm sorry. I don't know where I've been.
Working.
I've been working.
There's no shame in working, dude.
It's no shame in working. You know what I mean, though? It's just like one day goes to another and another and another and another. You don't know where it goes. So, but hey, once the NBA, since the NBA is still on strike, that could be eternity now from what I'm hearing. So anyways, no, it's good to be back. Missed all of you guys. I'm sure you didn't miss
me. We missed you too.
Did you? Who are you?
That's more like it. That's more like it. Alex is sincere. Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Bagel Tech Photo, everybody. And it is one that's going to be more questions-filled than newsworthy-filled, but we do have a few things. First off, though, let's go around the panel. We'll start off, Mr. Chris Forsman from Ars Technica. Chris, how is Chicago?
It's cold today. It's cold. I'm glad really? I'm not waiting in line for an iPhone 4S, to be honest.
You're not really happy with Apple right now, we know, so didn't really expect you to be in line today. You can tune into the Mac show for that, people. You can get everything that Chris is going on about there, the big scoop and all. So good week, Chris.
No, it's not been a good week. Okay. But I'm here.
All right, at least you're honest. And we like that.
And he's got a deadline for something he hasn't written yet. He hasn't done his own work and the dog's eating it.
He's smart. It'll be fine. Again, we got the G-Man who's been hard at work too, haven't you, Alex? How are you?
I am very good. Been hard at work.
That's good. Good deal. We're all working. We all have deadlines, I guess.
After two whole weeks of work?
that's almost a year's
God
worth.
God bless you. God bless you, Ewan.
Two whole weeks. All right.
Life treating you good, Alex? Things are good?
Yeah, they're not bad. Just let's get back to normal now. You know, do some work, some play, and just, you know, do photo on a Friday. That'll do. No more, no less.
Yeah, that's good. That's the way to do it. And last but not by means least, you just heard him. He's overjoyed with work. It's good, man. You've been out taking some photos. How they turned out?
Good. I had a good week. Very pleasant. Thank you very much. Met some nice people. Did some nice work. Had a very happy week. Whereas last week was a little bit stressed. This week was perfect. So I'm very happy.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Except Chris with Apple.
Yeah. Moving on.
Okay. Shall we get into a few stories today, and then we'll get into our questions because that's going to take up most of the show.
Yeah. I don't want to hold a grudge.
Good questions this week, though.
Oh, we do have some good questions. We're going to get into those. We know you don't want to hold a grudge, Chris, because God knows Apple is tracking you right now. Let's start off now with the ball camera. Captures 360 degrees when tossed in the air. Why do we care? Chris, have you seen this god-awfully green, ugly thing?
Yeah. It sort of looks like something the Thing, like... Are you familiar with the Thing from Fantastic Four?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
It's the wrong color.
Well,
is it the wrong color?
Depends on where it came out of. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not going there.
Well, the technology's pretty cool on this, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, it's 36 2-megapixel cameras, which is not huge technology, but 36 of them in one space and it's round. Plus the fact that it actually waits until it's at the top of the throw before it takes the picture, so it's nearly stationary. And how the hell does it sense that? I think that's pretty
cool. Accelerometer?
I still don't know if an accelerometer would know that it had stopped. It would not. It senses motion, and I suppose the transition, well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Reversal and G-force would do it.
Right. Yeah, but then it's already started moving down, hasn't it? So,
what would we use this for?
A rate of slowing down, though, wouldn't it? And it would be able to calculate when it's going to reach a stop by the rate of deceleration. But there you go. That's a bit technical.
Exactly. What do we use it for, Alex? What can this be used for?
Well, I've already written on the Etherpad what I think you can use it for. I think it should be putting the beach volleyballs in the London Olympics. I think we could
Well, it could be used in sports. It could. I could see that, and you know, soccer. Sorry, wrong word. Football. I mean, I could see that, but wouldn't it change?
It would only be good for ladies' beach volleyball, though. Let's just clarify.
I don't particularly want to see, I don't know, Wayne Rooney's nostrils coming towards the ball, but you know, beach volleyball, or I don't know. Can they make a waterproof one for the female water polo? I don't know. I mean, let's not get too pervy about this, but I actually think the idea is brilliant. And I think, you know, some of these cameras that they do bounce around in the air above football pitches or whatever they're playing. If you had a full 3D panoramic, and imagine if you had control of that as well. So as a viewer, you could have a video feed with these things and maybe a bit of software. So as a viewer, you could go to the cam in the sky or whatever they call it, and you'd be able to zoom around and see whatever you wanted. And also, if you think about it, for security cameras, that would be fantastic.
Nothing would hide.
Nothing could hide. That's
true. Give me the ball camera. I want the ball camera.
I really, really like it. And I think as a prototype, cool. I think it's a blooming good idea.
You said it was a piece of crap in the notes.
Did I? I'm reading it.
He changed his mind.
The word fantastic idea, I'm not sure how that relates to a piece of crap. But
he has re-evaluated the ball and has seen its visual essence. He loves it. All men should love balls.
Think it's good. It's good. I think it's good. Have a bit of fun with it. I mean, it's not commercially available, is it? So,
no, it's not. It's a concept right now.
It's computer science researchers. But
I could see it in sports later on, but then again, you're going to get these diehards, you know, players are going to be like, well, it changes the dynamics of the ball, and it can't be, and it's not standard, and blah, blah, blah.
It's going to be $1,000. Fit in there right with a pen one or something like that, yeah.
It's $1,000, I'll get one. Moving on. How about the big glass? We went from the ball now. How about the big glass, small body, Canon 50 millimeter? Well, I guess, is it a Canon body and an Olympus E1? I'm confused here. Olympus body, the Canon lens. Okay. Well, first off, the pictures look great. Secondly, the camera looks awful. Why in the hell would you do this?
Because you can.
Did you see the maximum aperture on that bad, Larry?
Yeah, f0.95.
Yeah.
Yeah. The aperture is actually larger than the focal length.
Which is why the picture that it takes is crap.
I thought it looked good.
It's all over the place, man.
I like the one with the pretty flowers. Come on, give the flowers one.
I mean, I'll give you the amazing depth of field comment that Alex put in the notes is correct. But the problem is, I have enough trouble sometimes holding depth of field at 1.8, let alone worrying about it at 0.95, you know, half that. It's you've got to be very steady. You've got to be damn sure what you're focusing on. And I think in terms of usable results, you get novelty images that look great when you put them through Instagram or analog app, but they're going to look crap rest of the time.
Well, it sorts them in from the boys, really, doesn't it? I mean, you've got to comb your hair in the right direction, otherwise half of it would be out of focus.
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's a good example of an image with some Chinese lettering and stuff like that on it and prices. And there's a lot of noise on that image, an awful lot of noise on it, even in the areas that are in focus, so.
Yeah, that might say more about the Olympus.
It's the concept, though, right? Are we talking like this is obviously it can be done. So anybody that has a Canon 50 millimeter lens and has an Olympus E1, they can do this, right? If they want to, correct?
Well, you can do it. Then you can do it with a standard Canon because it's a specialist lens that's rare, and you've got to wait until one comes up. And apparently, they come up regularly periodically on eBay, and they're about $500 a piece. Because I mean, this is effectively nothing more than a straight piece of glass all the way through.
So basically, you're better off just buying a good camera and forget ever trying to ever think about doing this.
No, I don't think that. I mean, you know, if you're going to buy this thing, then fine, go ahead and buy it. And if you want the results, go ahead and get the results. But bear in mind that with the lens open that much, you're asking the camera, you know, it's like driving it at full throttle all the time. It's, you know, the image is going to suffer because there's so much light coming in through so little aperture control, and it's going to hit the capturing medium and you're going to get aberrations on it and distortion.
Alternatively, Just build a bellows front on any digital camera you like, and you can fit practically any lens you like to it. I mean, this is all a very nice idea because they've taken two things that aren't designed to screw together, but...
It's alive!
Technically, it's incredibly easy to do with bellows.
Mm. To be fair to the lens, I mean, it was designed for a completely different era when, chromatic aberrations didn't show up as much on film as they do on digital. I mean, they're not as apparent. So, I mean, this was like the block rocking Canon 50mm to have, in 1973 or whatever. But, I think it's fun.
No, it's definitely fun.
It's a fun idea, yeah.
Proof of concept.
Exactly. Took the words out.
Something you want to do every day. Proof of concept. That lens is heavy. I don't know if you ever held one. It's heavy.
Yeah, but I mean, the camera's not. So somewhere in the middle, you'll be all right.
Yeah, when your picture start taking pictures of your feet. Yeah.
As long as you want to take the picture of the floor. There we go. Yeah.
I wouldn't drop it. You want to stick that in a bowl and chuck it in the air and see what happens.
Anybody listening right now, you can kind of tell that we don't have much news this week, so we're just making fun of it. That's what we do best on this show. So we all think proof of concept probably never going to happen. Take pictures of your feet, great camera to do.
I know we talked about the stories we're going to do, but I just want to throw one in. I'm sorry, Carl, because we should have said this. The police, we said a story last week about a girl eating an ice cream and the dad took a picture using a cell phone he got asked to delete it and the police were called and all that kind of stuff. Apparently, the police have said that they're not entirely happy with what happened and he's got no right to make a complaint to the police about it. But the mall has changed its policy on taking photos inside the mall with cell phones. So power to the people. There we go.
Yeah, it's amazing. The police have said that they did nothing wrong and no one's got the right to complain. I can't believe that.
Well, apparently they didn't mention terrorist legislation. That was all added in the story afterwards. And apparently the guy's not available for comment. So he's obviously been told to shut up about it. Otherwise they'll, if he said the wrong thing.
Or his lawyers told him to be quiet until we get the money out of him.
I don't think, But there you go. Sorry.
The name of the good lawyer.
Sorry, Carl.
Well, thank you. No, that's okay. I think
you wouldn't have known we mentioned that last week. That was all.
So. No, I did because of last week's show.
Yeah,
listen to it. Just because I wasn't on it.
It takes notes.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, come on. I've also voted for us in the podcast awards.
Yeah, I hope you voted for us every day, 5 times a day.
No, about 20 times a day.
Good man.
We're gonna win. Tell you. On now. Thank you, Ewan, for that special news update. Let's go on now to the Sigma, which is creating a camera that I, neither you nor Chris nor, maybe Alex, he is the man of a million cameras, my own. It is a special wood version of the SD1, but the SD1 actually is a nice looking camera, but this is a special wood version. They're only going to make 10 of them. It's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It's $13,800 pretty, just so you know, just in time for Christmas. Alex, yes. Alex, come on, Alex.
I don't even know. One? You know when Jaguar used to make proper cars and then they were bought out by Ford or somebody and then they started putting crap in the dashboards rather than decent looking wooden dashboards?
Yeah, like this.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is exactly what it looks like. It's like, you know what? We used to make nice cameras, so we're going to make something that looks like a pile of crap and call it nice.
This is actually, this is a tradition in Japan.
Oh,
this is a tradition in Japan to make these like hand carved wooden cases for all kinds of different objects. I mean,
so is it a bonsai camera?
Do explain.
Sort of.
Do explain, Chris. I didn't know you were fluent in Japanese culture. Go ahead.
I wouldn't say I'm fluent, but I have my share of interesting factoids probably. But I remember. When PowerBook G3s were around, you remember the black PowerBooks, and there were it was sort of a trend then that some Japanese guys made some of these just the same. They used the burled nice wood, and they replaced the plastic casing on the outside with this handmade wood casing. It looked very similar, and I think Pentax. I remember a long, long time ago in the 80s, made a version of their LX camera that was similar to this with the burl. I mean, I understand why they're doing it. I'm not saying it's awesome, And but I definitely think it's a cultural thing that I think maybe that we're probably not accustomed to.
I mean, they're using real wood, though, aren't they?
Lexus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Ewan.
It's real wood veneer. It's not plastic. It is actually proper wood.
Yeah,
it looks nice.
And Boina Burl, decorative veneer.
So. Well, I tell you what, I'll stick a rod on it and then I'll use it as a driver. But that's the only wood I'd use it for. You know, I was really worried.
It's not good. No, it's fine.
I was really worried when this came up because I was thinking Ewan is going to come up with the word wood and excitement somewhere along the line. And I was thinking, how are we going to avoid that?
No, I'm not excited. I think it looks it's awful, but I mean, it's at least it's real wood. It's not the crap stuff that Rover used to use that was actually plastic that looked yellow after about a week.
We're saying it's not IKEA.
No,
it's not particle board.
You have to put it. Well, kind of. You have to put it yourself afterwards because the lens doesn't come with it. But yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, here we go. I'm going to shoot myself right in the foot for everything. The 10-8 camera that we use.
Bearing in mind, Chris has got a deadline in an hour and a half.
Okay, I won't talk.
No, that's not
the 10-8 camera.
He's in a strop today. Good grief! Mahogany.
It's all about the wood.
There we go.
I nearly got that out. Now, the 10-8 camera I use is actually made of mahogany, and it's mahogany and brass. Because it's a remake of a Gandolfi, which is like 100 years ago and what have you. But a lot of the things I shoot with the 10-8 camera is behind glass. And the one thing I don't want is a wooden camera with brass knobbly bits. I want something that's like all the Cambos I use, which is a matte black finish and doesn't reflect in the glass the same way as this does. So I would say that I would say that there is going to come a point with certain uses of this, if anyone actually wants to use it, that you're going to end up really regretting the fact that you've got a reflective, shiny camera. It's going to show up in a lot of your pictures.
Mm.
Mm. I'm just saying the person that's going to spend 13 grand on a super rare special edition wood burled camera is probably not really thinking, well, what might I shoot behind glass?
Well, I christened it in the notes the Sigma sideboard. Which is, I mean, that's it. That's what it is. Doorstop.
Yeah, that sums it up. That sums it up. That's the news, guys. Let's get to the questions.
Agreed.
We don't want to talk about this photography award here.
Well, I might upset someone. That's the only problem with that.
I looked at the picture and I thought, part of the horizon straight, well done. And that's all I could come up with.
Go on, we'll do the story. Go on, do the story.
You might want to put a picture up.
Chloe Dew Matthews has won the British Journal of Photographers International Photography Award for this picture. And you'll have to go to the British Journal of Photography if you want to see it. But it's two sisters running down to an underground mosque, which you actually can't see in the picture, in Bekat Attar. They've come on a pilgrimage with their family from Aktu, who aren't in the picture either, to pray for the recovery of their uncle, who also isn't in the picture. Bekat Attar Necropolis, Kazakhstan. Image by Chloe Dew Matthews, Panos Pictures. And the judges said it was startling to see the substance normally associated with the industry, politics, power and wealth being used for health and relaxation, the miracle of oil bathed for in centuries. And it said something about the judges felt that it had a real art sensibility, combining a good understanding of geopolitical issues. Every single frame is really strong. It looks stunning in a gallery.
So it must be a series.
It's a series, but this picture here, I mean, if you took that on holiday, you wouldn't even put it in the album.
Right. The composition is horrible.
They're kind of in the middle-ish. The horizon possibly is fairly level, but there isn't much of a horizon there. The sky is not really interested in the slightest, neither is the land. Yeah. And you've cut the bottom half of the people off. I mean,
it's really depressing, actually.
Chat room has got the answers here. Two of them have said what? One said delete. Yeah. The other one said a load of crap. And are you sure you don't have to see it in the context of the series, however, although I still think it's crap.
Well, if it's a series of, say, six or seven, maybe some of them are in focus.
Oh, man.
No, it's a terrible thing to say. I don't know what they saw in this picture, and I'm glad there's enough pretentiousness in the world to enjoy it. But
photographic pictures are, photographic competitions are renowned for picking crap images. What's the kind of like the Turner Prize, but or the Booker Prize, but for photography? It was, and it was some, no, it was some woman who went to Romania and took pictures of kids with broken toys stood outside their houses,
yes, I remember,
in the garden of, you know, in Romania. And it was just like, they're not even orphans. They were part of a real family and they had broken toys and they looked poor. But I mean, it's hardly.
But that's a journalistic look at photos, isn't it? I mean, is it, we're looking at a picture that tells a story, but that picture doesn't tell any story until you fill me in with 27 pages of background. At least kids with broken toys, you can sit there and go, oh, isn't that sad, this and mucky True. Kids with broken toys.
Mm. At least they were all in the frame.
And also, it you know, it is telling you the whole story. That looks like two kids climbing down the sandy mountain dune to go to the beach, and their dad took a picture by accident.
While he was falling over.
Yeah. But other than that, it's great.
Yeah, spot on. Geopolitically, I think it's...
Well, that's the point, isn't it? Geopolitically.
What does geopolitically mean?
It means...
Fellas.
Yeah?
Yes. I have to peace out.
Okay. Sorry, mate.
I'll see you next week.
Yeah, all right, mate. Okay. See you next week. Au revoir.
Take care.
Bye, Chris.
There you go. That's what Chris thinks of Kerish, Sophie, Deuce and Matthews.
Maybe he put it in under a pseudonym.
Oh, maybe it's like him. I never thought it could be him. It's his nom de plume.
Exactly.
It looks like they just said, oh God, this is the wrong beach.
It's crap, but other than that, it's brilliant.
No, I mean, like,
Claire said, have they got confused with geotag?
Well, I think most things are geopolitical because it just means political in regards to an area. But there you go.
Which looks like Camber Sands.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Shall I read what you wrote in the... No, I better not.
No, I didn't write that. You wrote for art's sake.
No, but it's the description that comes before it.
No, you can't say that word on here. Sorry. Moving on.
Exactly. But people can guess now. Avoid it. Avoid.
I've suggested it's less than adequate. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Oh, questions, guys. Questions. Move away from the picture. Move away. First question. Dear Kyle, Ewan, Alex, and our beloved Chris, who had to leave. Thanks for the show. Still loving it. Keep up the good work. Quick question, though long answer, I'm guessing. This one's for you, Alex. I've been trying to understand metering more in recent weeks and wondered if there was a rule as to when I should use spot metering over, what's this?
Evaluative.
Evaluative, yeah, metering and centered weighted metering. Thanks again. Gary.
Okay. Well,
there we go.
You use different metering methods depending on the composition of the picture. If you've got lots of different high values to low values, then you really need an overall metering, which, you know, is sort of a wider metering. Spot metering, you can pick a spot on the frame and you can take that as the place that you meter in. And it's quite a small, limited area that you meter on. Now, quite often, I do that with a lot of the photography I do because I mustn't burn out the highest point. So, you know, fundamentally, that's what's important to me. If I've got something that's white, it's got to stay white but not burn out. So I use a lot of, you know, spot metering, and that's where I take the metering value from. Center weighted is... it's a similar thing, but it takes the center as the main part of the metering, but it then adds to it a like a gradation from the center, and then it works out the exposure in a slightly wider area. But from, I don't know if you can do center weighted, but change where the center is. I mean, I know cameras, you can move around where that center spot is, but that's basically giving you more overall, but the center being, you know, the heaviest calculation. And what was the other one they said? Evaluative, which is just basically completely overall, isn't it? Evaluative, it just
takes
the entire image and it works out what the average over it is. For it does depend what you're shooting. If you're shooting something that has got an awful lot of contrast between the highest and the lowest, what you've got to make sure is you don't completely burn out the whites and you don't completely black out the blacks. So something like evaluative or center weighted is a good idea. If you did spot metering on something with a lot of light in one place, the rest of it would be completely pitch black. And remembering that you when you look at something with your eyes changes the aperture when you look at one part of what you're seeing to another. You'll be able to see the whites, but when you look at the blacks, your eyes will adjust. Like when you're watching a football match on television and they go into shadow, it automatically adjusts. So it all depends on how much contrast there is in the image. So that's why you've got the three different options.
Ewan, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
What's metering?
Metering's basically when the camera is trying to work out for you what exposure to use. So you're giving it the three basic values of your image capture speed, your f-stop setting, and then your exposure time. And within that, it's trying to work out and balance what the best setting is for those three. So it meters, it's like having a light meter, it meters what's seen through the lens. As Alex says there, if you've got this big contrasty area stuff, then your camera doesn't know what to do. I've got to say, I tend to shoot an awful lot on spot metering because I can control it, and I also probably want to control the focus. So I'm doing a part press on what I want to focus on, and then I'll frame the image and follow through with the shoot. And I tend to look for stuff if I haven't got to worry too much about focus. So if you're doing a close-up portrait, you'd go to the eye to get your partial focus and then come down to the rest of the face. But if I was doing something where I'd got a bigger scene, then, you know, where you can focus on a person's chest, or where you can focus on, say, a horse or a car or something like that, then I'd try and look for an area of that image that looks like it's fairly bland in terms of the spectrum of the colour. So go for an average red, an average green, an average blue, rather than going for something that's really dark blue or really light blue. Avoid the extremes of the images, Alex says. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. I didn't know if it was like a process, or it's a process for the camera, not for you. Really.
No, it's a light meter. It's a light meter through the lens. That's it.
Well, in these days, most of us let the camera do it. I don't have that option when I'm shooting with film on a large format. I have to meter it myself. But it's just basically you want to know how bright is that light. That's all it is. But if you've got an image with black in it and white in it, the reflection from the white will be vastly brighter than the reflection from the back. And so you have to make an average.
You'll do.
That covers it. Really.
All right. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Next question comes from a person from Scotland. It says, "Hi guys, I have a question over ownership. I'm a self-employed photographer and recently separated from my partner of 10 years. The question I have is, A, do they have any rights over my images? And B, can they claim any value in the past or future from the sale of these images?" This sounds more like a question for a lawyer, but go ahead, Ewan.
I was going to say, you need a lawyer, dude, not a photographer.
Yeah, I got one in the other room.
Well, I mean, I sat and missed lectures on a law course, so I'll have a stab at it. But I would have said, if in terms of copyright, she holds no right of copyright over them. You took the image, so you physically took the image. She can't take that away from you. I'm assuming it's a she. What they can do, though, is if you took those images while you were a joint venture together, there was a joint capital gain as a household, then any value that those images hold, she has a share of those value of the value, but she doesn't hold the copyright on the images. They were yours. You were shot as a business. If you're a limited company and you shot them, then obviously she's got no hold over it whatsoever because the limited company owns them. In terms of value for past or future, if there is a value in them, then anything that you've got, whether it's a sofa, a fridge, a cup, a kettle, a dishwasher, or a car, she's got a right to claim the value that you hold against your estate. So you're going to lose some money, but you won't lose the control over the image. That will always be yours because you took it. I think that is a bit of a guess, but an educated guess. Yeah, get a lawyer. Definitely get a lawyer. See Alex's brother.
Yeah, exactly. No, I come across this similarly, but not in photography, but with an artist quite recently, which I won't give too many clues away. But the problem he had is being self-employed, which is exactly as this
it's
is
a man.
Phrased. Sorry? Okay, it's a man. I'll give you that much. Being self-employed, as he was, now I've given it away. What the argument was is he produced these works of art whilst she was maintaining his living standards by looking after the home, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, she had part ownership of these things once they were sold because of, you know, it was deemed that they worked together. She looked after the rest of his life so he could then get on and do his painting. Which, you know...
And it's true. It's good. It's right.
Not a problem. So all I would say is, unless if because you've used the word self-employed, I think I would definitely be... I'd err on the side of you probably will have to share some of the income from the future of any images, but you still have copyright. No one can say, I want to use this image for that because I own it. I would not think the partner had the right to say, I want to use that image on the cover of a magazine and you have got no say in it. The only thing that your partner may be able to do is any future income she may be able to get some of. But again, it's all to do with how it's set up and it's business law rather than photographic law. So
get a lawyer.
make the images valueless if you possibly can.
Well, you know, for most of us, they are anyway.
So. Yeah. Get a lawyer. Next question. This comes from Mike. Hi, guys. I have a monopod and I shoot with it quite a bit, but wondered if there's any benefit to fitting a ball head on the top. What is it with balls in this show? I've had a lot of balls in this show today. Anyways, I know that this will give me the ability to shoot portrait and landscape, but I'm also aware that ball heads never stay still if you're moving around a lot, especially if they're cheap. I also believe that the problem won't go away just because I spend more money. Any suggestions? Alex, any suggestions?
Yeah, I mean, you've got different types. I don't use it anymore for the very same reason that eventually they weaken. I've got an enormous ball head for really, really large cameras. And I reckon it might have been about £400 or £500 this head, and it might have lasted a year. And that's about it. If you were going to do something like that head, there are very small non-ball head cameras which have got like three axes on them, which are completely lockable in exactly the same way as a ball head. They're slightly more complex to use, but they don't tend to wear out anywhere near as quickly. And, you know, once you've locked them into position, they stay in position. And you can get miniature heads that have got three-way axis and three-way locking on them. So if you're worried about it wearing and worrying about it not being able to, you know, hold properly, then I would not necessarily use a ball head. I'd go for one of the others. And the others tend to be slightly cheaper as well.
Ewan, what's your feeling on the ball head?
Yeah, I mean, the thing you'll find with the ball heads is don't buy really long ones. I've got one that's like a pistol grip that you stick on the top and then you can grab it and turn it sideways and it really has a good sweep on it. And that was the same as Alex's. I spent a fortune on that and within 12 months it was a piece of crap. Go for the little tiny ones that have got metal clamps around a metal ball because you get the friction of the metal then as well as. Don't get the plastic on metal because they'll just slide everywhere. And keep really, really short so there's just enough to turn your camera sideways one way or the other and screw them down as tight as you can. And always go for metal because metal will grab better under tension than plastic will. It'll just break. But I would say generally, if you've got £30 bowling a hole in your pocket and you can find a really good one for that on eBay or something, then fine, buy it. Other than that, run like a mile.
And if you're not bothered how they look, you can always dismantle them and put a bit of like duct tape on it or something, and that always extends longevity once they start getting loose.
Good tip.
There you go. There's a cheap thing thrown in.
Good man.
Yeah, duct tape. last question, guys, we have for this week. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce his name, Ewan.
Gregor Finley.
Finley. He says, hey, guys, this is a quick question. He says, question for you. Images look great in aperture, look very dark on a website. What's up?
Yeah, we're both waiting for the other one to answer this.
Fish. There you go. That's the answer to that question. Definitely. Fish. No question. Fish.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Absolutely fish. Every time, I've seen it before, fish.
What's up?
I mean, I'd start with the obvious stuff like look at your... I mean, I'm presuming that Gregor's looking at them on the same computer. If you're looking at them on two different computers, one on the net, one on the aperture, then I'd start with the screen's not calibrated properly, perhaps. If aperture's sending them out dark... That could be. I'm sitting thinking you've changed the color profile, so you've reduced the number of colors, and it's picking a guess at some of the more subtle colors that may darken it. But even that, I don't think it would do, because I think Aperture doesn't give you that kind of credibility or option. I have no idea why that's coming out. But it, I mean, if you're looking at the same image from Aperture on a screen and you're just putting it on the web, then the only other thing consist is that the server that holds the thing is doing something with it. But I can't even see that either. I've got no idea what this is about.
Right. Alex? Having a guess, a complete guess, if the colour space that your aperture is set to is some strange colour space because you've used correction, say you've, I'm trying to think what they're called, a Huey or a Spider or something, and you've calibrated your screen and you're using a separate colour space that you've calibrated, Aperture might be converting that into Adobe or whatever Aperture is used, you know, is using, and then when it sends it out to wherever you're going to send it out to JPEG it to a website, that might be given yet again another color space. So Aperture might not be using a standard color space, and then when you export them, it converts it to a standard color space, and then you put it on the computer, on another computer, which is the internet, and then you're going to be in a third color space. So I think it might be a color space issue.
I've sent an image to Photobox before in CMYK, and when it came back, it was horrific. It was blown out all over the place with really poor color aberrations all over it. So I think that could be it as well. But I don't know if Aperture does that. I think you only get JPEG, TIFF, and I can't think you can put that. You can't output in CMYK.
No, but what you could be doing, it could be working in a different color space for your screen, and then your screen color space is a completely different color space.
Teresa's in the chat room. She's got Aperture because she's just updated it. But I mean, what's the? As far as I understand, the color space in Aperture, you've only got Adobe RGB and sRGB. So I can't think you put that in CMYK. So I mean, I don't know. It's a logical one, definitely logical, but. I don't know.
Your whole screen could be calibrated, though, couldn't it? Your whole Mac could be calibrated for a different color space, and so therefore, when you're not using Aperture, you're not using that color space anymore, are you? It's a conversion. If you've got a calibration called BagelTech 1 or whatever it is, it's then your screen's going to calibrate that from whatever RGB.
But does your screen use a different color profile by application? I don't think it does. It uses it by screen. Your colour profile is attached to the screen that you're using, whether it's, you know, your 30-inch monitor, the 20-inch, 8-inch monitor, or whatever.
Yeah, but there's always a conversion from what you're reading to whatever your screen is. I think I can only say it's a colour space problem, and somewhere along the line you're viewing the colour spaces differently, or you've got the... I don't use Aperture enough to know, but you might be able to have different black levels as standard or on the profiles. What I would do is reset all the profiles on Aperture to factory reset, if you can do that, and then see where you go from there.
Good point from Carl in the chat room. Perhaps he could be uploading the original image by mistake and not the version from Aperture. That would do it. That's pretty possible. You can't take my picture, you got the lens cap on.
He could be doing that.
That was the obvious answer. Sorry. Well done, Carl.
There's the obvious.
There you go.
Oh, geez. That's a simple question, but long answers. Sometimes they turn out that way, don't they?
And we still haven't told him, so there we go.
Yeah, we still don't know. It's
Fish was closer to the truth.
It's like mobile me migrating to iCloud.mac.me. It's confusing.
Something like that.
If you've got a confusing question, send it to us, BagelTechPhoto@gmail.com. This is about the best we can do, but we'll try to help you. BagelTechPhoto@gmail.com. Keep sending them each and every week. We love getting your questions, seriously, guys. And it really is what makes the show, because you can see this week the news just sucked. So please, for God's sakes, please send your questions. All of this is, it wouldn't be possible, actually, and is made possible by the fine folks over there at UK2.net. Head on over to BagelTechNews.com right now. Please click the click-through over there if you're looking for some nice web hosting, some domain names, lots of different things, actually, UK2's got you covered with. Have a look over there, see what's going to suit you. But please use the click-through. When you're over there, use our code, Ewan.
Yeah, BagelTech is the offer code, 15% off. And if you transfer a domain name in, then there's a DNS management charge, which you'll have to pay. But you don't have to pay it if you're a BagelTech listener, as long as you use the offer code BagelDNS. And you can use both codes, so
which is a sweet deal. Sweet, sweet deal. And just please use the code.
Is Bageltech one word in that code? Or
yes,
is it is. Two?
No, it's one word. Yeah.
Just checking. Because people could be putting it in as two different words and therefore it wouldn't come back with the required 15% off. It just occurred to me the other day, maybe that's why people aren't using the code they're trying to, but spelling it wrong.
Bageltech, all together.
There you go.
Remember that. Bageltech, all together. And and UK too. We cannot thank them enough for all the freaking bandwidth they're giving us.
Unlimited.
How much did... Yeah, it's unlimited. Thank God it is, because I think we'd be living on the street if it wasn't. So thank you very much, UK2Not support. Please support them, definitely if you're looking for something, because it keeps us on the air and it keeps us bringing this to you free each and every week. Thank you, UK2.
There's a competition as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a competition as well. Under the logo at bageltechnews.com, you can win a Nintendo 3DS. So all you got to do is click on that, enter that the VPS 400 server's got a 2 terabyte hard drive, and you could win a Nintendo 3DS. So please enter, though, because just entering will reinforce the UK2 that that you guys are really caring about us. So thanks.
Yeah, and don't forget the balls.
Yeah, it's all about the balls. Oh, the balls. Yeah, absolutely. Photo assignment. this month's photos. That's the photo assignment, yeah.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, we'll do that. That's fine.
This is what happens when you're out of the loop for, I don't know how many, 2 weeks now?
Yeah.
2 weeks?
Well, no, I mean, we suggested that Chris had to do it, and last week he wouldn't pick one, and he's forgotten to do it this week. And when we challenged him and said, you've forgotten to do it, he said, oh, balls. So there you go, that's it. Chris has picked balls, this month's photo assignment. And this is going to be for, because we're nearly halfway through October, aren't we now? So this is the one that's going to take us through to the end of November. So we've got 6 weeks to do it, which means I've got a possibility of actually doing it on time.
Me too.
Nah, what happened?
Boy, this show's been full of balls. Really,
I'm going to do me 9-1 later on this weekend. I promise I'm going to do me 9-1.
You haven't done that yet?
I still haven't done 9, no. I've got a really cool one, but it takes a bit. I've got to set it up, so.
Please do. Weekend project. We'd love to see it. We talk about it next show, because there probably won't be any news next week.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Canon and Nikon are building up to something big.
Yeah, that's the rumbling, but we don't do rumour.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. If you want to get a hold of these guys, first off, I'll let you know where you can get a hold of Chris Forsman. He does do some article writing over there at Ars Technica. He's at ForsMac on Twitter, so you can get a hold of him there. Ewan, where can people get a hold of you?
I'm at Ewan Rankin on Twitter and at Bagel Tech News. And also you can go to my website, ewanrankin.co.uk, for commercial photography work.
And you've had a lot this week?
I've done all right. I'm very happy. Very happy. Thank you very much. Quiet week next week again, but not too bad.
Well, keep clicking. Keep clicking. And Alex, G-Man, other than twitterything.com, where can we get hold of you?
At Alex G. Fox, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I'm going to get that right. I've done it.
You've done it. Good man. So on Twitter.
There you go.
Just in time for the weekend.
There you go.
How is twitterything.com? I haven't been there in a while. How's twitterything.com? I haven't been there in a while.
Nor have I.
There you go. Same as.
There we go. There you go. Please join us again next week. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more to say, and hopefully we'll be able to answer your questions, that the ones that you do send in, we're looking forward to it. Chris should be back with us next week for the full show.
He'll have a deadline. He'll bugger off early again because he hasn't done his own work.
That's true. So expect to have so next week. So. We do hope you'll join us. Please come back. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.
Bandwidth and hosting for Bageltech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.